Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
When we started Free Talk Live long, long ago, for those that have listened to Free Talk Live any period of time, it wouldn't surprise you that we're libertarians. There's a couple of books that were very formative for the show. So one of them was Healing Our World by Dr. Mary Ruart. And I don't think that it is too radical of us to say that on this show that we're basically, you know, sort of to some extent Ruartian libertarians.
Well, you, Ian and you, Mark, are the progenitors and the principals of the show. And I know Ian was always singing her praises and the praises of that book.
Indeed. And it is it's a book well worth checking out. But Dr. Mary Ruart has not rested on her laurels and has written yet another book. And she sent me an email, which, you know, I love to get emails from Dr. Ruart. And she said she had a book that's coming out. It doesn't exist in dead tree form at this point, but it's on its way very, very soon. Dr. Ruart, are you with us?
I am. And thanks for having me on the show. It's a delight.
And thank you so much for coming. Tell us about the book. I know nothing.
Okay, well, it's very exciting because I don't think there's anything like it on the market right now. It's called Death by Regulation, How We Were Robbed of a Golden Age of Health and How We Can Reclaim It. And basically, it's really about the 1962 amendments to the Food and Drug Act. One of the things that I couldn't calculate was how many lives have been lost due to prevention.
Sure.
In the book, I go through some of the nutrients that help us live longer. One person has estimated that if we had proper vitamin D levels, for example, we'd live another 2 years longer. But there's so much that can't be calculated there that, you know, I don't have numbers for that. But what I do have numbers for is what has happened to the drug industry. So when you have a 13-year or 14-year development time instead of a 4-year development time, you can calculate that about 15 million Americans have died prematurely just waiting for life-saving drugs to get to the market. And then if you make a very conservative estimate about what the decrease in innovation has done, that's another 26.7 million. And then if you look at the censorship of life-saving information for older drugs, just for one of them, aspirin, you get 1.7 million people dying prematurely. So when you add this all up, about half of the people who have died since 1962 have probably lost 10 years of their lives.
I'm still, you know, curious about this wording here from the FDA's website saying that, you know, basically the FDA has to approve the marketing of
That's
a
right.
drug. And I'm wondering if, you know, the wording here, if in FDA language, marketing means something other than what marketing means in, say, the radio and TV business, because I'm thinking this means that the FDA has to approve all of the commercials that wind up
That's
being
correct.
Run.
That's correct. And also the package insert that goes into the, you know, the box that has the pills in it. And basically, there's usually kind of some conflict there, you know, there's some back and forth, and that really increases the cost of getting these ads out, as you might imagine.
So the FDA, I'm just curious, you know, like, do they have a specific department of the FDA that watches the commercial of somebody running through fields of sunflowers? And then, you know, take this. Side effects may include diarrhea, dizziness, death, all of these other horrible things. But there's still the lady running through sunflowers. Water cures dehydration.
Yes, you
and
can't
oranges
that.
Prevent scurvy.
Well, the scurvy is allowed. The scurvy thing is allowed, but not probably for foods. And what happens, you know,
so
like
vitamin
C?
Yeah.
Okay. When I was working in the industry, we didn't have all these genetic manipulations to create diseased animals. And our rats were so healthy, you know, they never got sick because we had titrated their nutrition, right? So the way we made them sick and have diseases similar to that of humans is we took away their vitamins. Or we overwhelmed their bodies with, like, high carbohydrates or high-fat diets.
Oh, and you fed them the classic American diet.
Yes. So basically what all the researchers knew was, hey, optimal nutrition is very important for good health. And so we were careful, you know. Now the MDs in the group generally didn't have this information. So they were still smoking and drinking, being overweight, not exercising, all of that. So, you know, nutrition, optimal nutrition is extremely important. And when the FDA disallowed these claims, several things happened. One is the drug companies, which were actually putting out like one a day multiple vitamins, or Upjohn had Unicaps, and were actually getting very involved in the nutrition scene, had to back away because obviously the FDA was going to require them to go through 13 to 14 years of regulatory red tape if they wanted to make claims for their nutritional products. So they just, you know, stopped. So what we're going to do is collect all these pre-orders, and on April 10th, we will put them all in Amazon at the same time in an attempt to get Death by Regulation on the Amazon bestseller list. So we're really hoping that you and your listeners will be excited about getting the $60 worth of free gifts to pre-order and help us put this on the map, so to speak, at Amazon. Because once that happens, Amazon starts advertising it as well. And the great thing about this from a libertarian standpoint is this is one of the best demonstrations of how bad regulations can be. In fact, I think this is the most deadly regulation that we've ever had. It's killed, you know, about 30 times more people than have died in all the wars that we've ever had since the start of our country.
Jeez. I would like Free Talk Live to be involved in this in some way. If you can just send an email to me at mark@freetalklive.com after we get off the air here and explain, what all the ins and outs of it are. We'll just do live reads. I want to make this happen. But so how does it work as far as Amazon goes? What do we have to achieve to get you notoriety there? I don't know how their formulas work.
Well, I don't know exactly, but we did this before for Healing Our World back in 2005. And then we sold, I think, maybe 500 books. And we got to number 5 in nonfiction and number 1 in several political science categories.
I have heard you say in the past that fish oil is probably a better choice than not to have fish oil as far as these things go. What are some of the other nutritional things that people can, add to their diet to see some kind of benefit?
Well, there's a lot of benefit to having vitamin D, especially if your levels are low. Obviously, it's better to measure your levels and find out where you are before you start taking them. But vitamin D is it's actually more of a hormone than a vitamin. We call it vitamin D because we discovered it as something that prevented a deficiency disease.
But I know it's very difficult to get good vitamin D as far as a supplement goes.
Well, and that's one of the reasons I recommended the Life Extension Foundation to my readers and your listeners, because they do make sure that their products are pure. They make sure that they're absorbed. Unfortunately, there's a lot of nutrients that don't absorb very well. And the Life Extension Foundation works very hard to make sure their products are good products. And in fact, they also review a lot of the drugs that come out when, you know, they feel there's a benefit for them, and actually put together these disease treatment protocols. And so, like, for example, if you have cancer or heart disease, you can go to their website and read about the different things you can do to prevent or treat those diseases. So it's really a great resource. And it's written for the layperson, but the layperson who wants to know a little bit more about how things work.
As an ethicist, have you been following this character, Josiah Zahner, the biohacker? Have you heard of him?
No, I haven't. No. Enlighten me.
Okay. Well, I'll do the best I can. He's a biohacker. He runs a company called The Odin. One of the things they do is they sell people kits to engineer yeast with a jellyfish protein to make the yeast to make beer that glows in the dark. He used CRISPR he injected himself with something that he made with CRISPR.
This has nothing to do with glow in the dark beer, right?
Right.
Okay.
Maybe he did inject himself with glow in the dark beer.
Well, I'll ingest it just to give it a shot. But
I think it has to do with glow in the dark beer, in that the means are kind of the same, altering the DNA of himself in this case. He injected himself with something to make himself ripped. give himself big muscles.
That work?
I don't think that it did, and okay. I think it rarely does.
All right.
He gave himself a fecal transplant.
This sounds awful. Go ahead.
And so I, me personally, I'm a kind of a crazy black flag anarchist, and I just like for people to be totally free. I think that
somebody giving themselves a fecal transplant sounds free.
I think that I don't think that God gave us a world that I don't think he gave us the ability to destroy it with biohacking and so forth.
There was a doctor in Colorado who was taking stem cells out of people and multiplying them and then putting them back in to help them with mostly with orthopedic type problems. And he was very successful.
Is that bones? Bones, yes. Or feet?
I'm sorry. Yes. Thank you for reminding me. I need to make sure I'm using things that, you know, terms that everyone will understand. But what happened is the FDA said if you take those stem cells out of the body and grow them in a test tube for a week so that there's enough of them to really do the job, then they're drugs. Mm. They're manipulated. Therefore, they're drugs. So basically, they moved it all offshore so that they could continue to give their patients what they really needed. And this was a big court battle, actually, and the FDA won. And, of course, the FDA always has an edge in such battles because sure. What it does, if it gets a verdict it doesn't like, it just keeps appealing until it finally does get the verdict it liked. And that's what happened with – that's why Right to Try is going on, because the cancer patients sued the FDA. Because they wanted to be able to take drugs that had not been fully developed yet, because, you know, terminally ill patients don't have long. And so they said that, you know, the Constitution protects the right to do that. And the courts at first agreed with them, but the FDA asked the courts to reconsider, and they did.
When you were doing your research for this book, I think that you're of, you know, what, very, very few people who would be able to write this book, this sort of expose on the FDA and how, you know, it harms people, because you were doing, you sort of, you know, that was your career, is medical research, right?
That's right. I lived through the changes of the amendments, and I knew things were bad, but until I actually started putting together all the published literature, I didn't realize how bad it really was. And, you know, we used to actually have some gallows humor in my lab where we would say, yeah, we're so busy meeting all these regulations, we don't have time to discover new drugs that'll cure things. And even when we did, we didn't always get a chance to put them on the market. I remember one time the FDA actually called me up and said, Dr. Ruart, we're really excited. We understand you just applied for a patent for prostaglandins and liver disease. And by the way, since we talked about fish oil earlier, the prostaglandins are the eicosanoids are what are, is built from fish oil. That's why you take fish oil to get the, quote, good prostaglandins or good eicosanoids. One of my colleagues asked me to come to their laboratory and watch an experiment based on this. They were putting they had an anesthetized dog, and they put a tie around the coronary artery, which is where heart attacks usually happen. And they mimicked the plaque formation and the narrowing of that artery by taking a tie and just tying down. But if they gave the dogs prostacyclin, which is a type of prostaglandin, the animals didn't have a heart attack, you know, until you basically shut off all the blood flow. So, you know, clots did not form. And and that's one of the reasons you take fish oil, you know, because you want to encourage the formation of what we call the good prostaglandins that, you know, keep your blood from clotting prematurely.
What about a small low-dose aspirin daily for adults? I've heard of this.
Yes,
too.
And that's what it does, is it helps shift the prostaglandin cascade so you produce more of this prostacycline that we just talked about.
I just watched the Stormy Daniels thing.
Oh, the Stormy Daniels interview. Yeah. Did you get a good look at her large and interesting personality?
I Googled Stormy Daniels anal earlier, if that's what you're getting at.
Hold on. So what interview?
She was on 60 Minutes.
People were having parties, you know, to watch, where basically she talked about how she met the president and he was being kind of arrogant. She spanked him with his own magazine that he was on the cover of. He became much more respectful. She wasn't attracted to him. They slept together. And then years later, she got threatened in a parking lot by some goon who said stay away, you know, don't talk about Trump, was later paid off $130,000 like 10 days before the campaign, and is now going on TV, you know, saying that she's telling her side of the story, so to speak. But they're trying to spin this into campaign finance law breaking because of the payoff. It seems like they're just on a big fishing expedition here. Anyway.
Well, they want to talk about something that's interesting, and people get infidelity. They may not get campaign finance law.
Well, I mean, if you're the president of the United States and porn stars are saying that, you know, when I was 25 years old, I slept with you, and I mean, that's not really embarrassing where I'm coming from.
I was just wondering if you two ever heard of snake oil.
Yeah, well, you know, snake oil, it's a euphemism for fake medical products.
Yeah, Larry Kudlow sells it on his show to help saggy eye bags.
I think I'd eat that.
Yeah, saggy, you know, eye bags? I think fish oil salesmen are pretty like, I would say New Hampshire's kind of fecund with like snake oil salesmen. You know what I mean?
No.
I have no clue what you mean.
But I like the voice change.
I mean, you guys are salesmen, right? You guys are salesmen.
I'm a talk radio host, and Dr. Ruard is a longtime medical researcher. What do you do?
Oh, but you guys are peddling kind of snake oil here. Are you libertarian?
I didn't sell.
What?
Hold a second. I didn't sell you any fish oil.
Thing.
I didn't say one product name.
Why are you trying to sell a libertarian ideology? Why?
Atlantic Standard Time. Tell me the good news, Daryl.
Well, the article that I have here is from someone that's not a fan.
Okay.
Now,
it did recently pass. It was signed by the Florida governor. So Florida, if approved, if the United States Congress decides to let them do it,
yes,
they will go on Atlantic Standard Time. Now, interestingly, Florida's not
most of the state, because there is that tiny little part that's on Central that would then move to Eastern.
Yeah.
Yes. So this would have the effect of going to permanent DST, permanent daylight shifting,
yeah,
which right now is not allowed under federal law. So federal law, there was a question from Ian when we were talking about this before the show where he said, well, how does Arizona get away with this? Well, Arizona doesn't participate in DST. The federal law says you can either participate in DST or not.
Right.
And those are the two options.
You use the term daylight shifting time,
yes,
because
you're shifting. You're not saving anything.
Right. There's nothing's being saved. If you cut the bottom of your blanket off and sew it onto the top, you haven't saved anything.
Correct.
You have shifted something. And I think,
yes,
it's more accurate. Plus the fact that it really irks you when people say daylight savings time rather than daylight,
yes,
saving time.
Yes, it does. Florida's heavily GOP legislature last month pushed through a bill that would move most of the state out of a daylight saving time observing Eastern time zone and into year-round Atlantic Standard Time. Senator Marco Rubio announced plans to confirm the change in an act of Congress. This is a bad idea.
Okay.
Setting aside the standard time events that will be thrown out of sync by moving Florida to the Atlantic time zone.
Wait a second. Okay, so Free Talk Live, it basically uses an Eastern Standard Time broadcast calendar or whatever, right?
Actually, like, I think we're based on Central Time because
Genesis,
that's where the syndicate is located.
Genesis Communications Network broadcasts on a Central Time zone, but when we talk about time here on Free Talk Live,
yes,
when we place it in Eastern.
Yes.
And I think that you know, if Eastern Time was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. And the ultimately,
I can't even unpack that, but continue.
It's a joke about the old King James Version.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm well aware of
you
what
young
you
people.
Were...
You can dig around for it if you want.
Yeah.
Anyway, so if we went to Atlantic Time here in New Hampshire, let's presume New Hampshire and Florida have the cojones, as it,
yes,
were, to move to Atlantic Time.
Along with Massachusetts and Maine, because that's part of what the New Hampshire change was based on,
was
Massachusetts.
But let's just say New Hampshire, at this point, that law is sunk and something,
right,
new could come along. I say we just go ahead and do it and let Maine and Massachusetts catch up next year.
There's a claim that farmers want the clocks to change. No, they don't. They don't, because then it messes with the schedule of the animals who were, you know, doing all their stuff based on when the sun comes up anyway.
The,
and
the animals don't tell time. I don't think it. I think it's just a completely
everybody has an internal clock, including animals.
Agreed.
And when you start changing the way, you know, time goes because government.
But I don't think it's a spurious claim what you're saying, Daryl, because I had animals till recently. The pigs went to heaven,
by the
way.
You've still got a cat.
I got a cat, right. The cat doesn't care.
Right, because your cat's pigs, not fed on a schedule.
The pigs didn't care. They were fed on a schedule, but the schedule was based on the sun, not on the time. So the farmers can are just going to adjust their schedules. This is the thing.
We're
all automatons, and somehow when the government changes the clock, no. You don't have to do that. The farmers aren't going to change their schedule. They're going to get up with sunrise if that's when they get up anyway. So if sunrise is at 5 a.m., it's at 6 a.m. or whatever, right. That's when they're going to get up. It doesn't matter. Your stupid change of the clock doesn't matter.
The reason it might be a problem, and I'm using air quotes there, is that, oh, so we're changing the time that Monday Night Football starts on this one week, but every other week. And then when you start...
No, you don't, though. So look,
you're saying only the games that kick off in Florida would wind up having an earlier start time on Monday Night Football.
No, they'd have the same...
They only have one Monday Night Football game a week.
I understand. Okay, listen. So do they have that Monday Night Football game? Is it played in time zones other than Eastern? Is it played in Central, Mountain, or Pacific time?
Yes, okay. And the kickoff time is always the same time Eastern.
Agreed. That's what they'll do. They'll kick it off Eastern time zone.
And that's what he's saying. It would kick off at 9:30 local time.
In Florida.
In Florida, which would end the game after midnight in Florida.
Problem.
That's why he's saying it's a bad idea.
Fine.
He's saying it's a bad idea for Florida. It's not a bad idea for California that Florida's changing a time zone.
Right. Okay, just to be clear, I don't care what he has to say on it. I mean, you know, they'll figure it out.
You're the one that asked me what he had to say about it.
No. I was thinking that he was saying that you could not. This just can't be done. We can't figure out how to switch the time.
No, he's saying it's a bad time or a bad idea for Florida to change the time zone in Florida.
That's something they're going to have to figure out.
I got the good news from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
I'll take your word for it.
Being a felon, having gone to prison for a few years, coming out is no longer an obstruction to getting a good job.
Okay.
Here in the state of New Mexico. Yeah, because like...
I don't know that it ever was, but all right. They do have some impedances out there.
Well, most job applications will say, have you ever been convicted of...
They used to be in the last 7 years or the last 10 years or something like that, but I've heard that they've changed it to, have you ever... But also there are some licenses, like florist for whatever reason,
right.
Or mortician. Yeah, you don't want some guy who's had a cocaine charge being a mortician. Why?
And
I have no idea.
There are some states where they've actually passed at the state level legislation saying that companies are prohibited from asking that question.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was I've been last few weeks or whatever, I've been playing this poker over the telephone with you guys of the my state is worse than your state poker.
All right.
Oh, we believe you.
Well, I want to play anyway. It makes it more fun.
All right.
And I played a couple cards. I had a secretary of state that who's in charge of campaign finance law, and she was taking money from her campaign finance and going to the casinos, like 60 different counts, and playing campaign money at the tables there. And she went to prison to jail for 30 days and had to do a couple thousand hours of community service. And then there was another card I played was we just had a senior senator, go to prison for what they give him. They gave him, I think, like, was it 2 years for he pushed real hard to get a law passed allowing the state to sell a historic building that was owned by the state.
I don't think that the vast majority of us operate on the sun being at high noon.
Correct.
For noon. I think that what we'd rather have is the sun come up in the morning sometime about when we go to work.
Yep.
And look, I understand that some kids are going to school too early. I can't address that.
I used to have to go down to the bus stop at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Ugh.
School didn't start until 8, but I had to be at the bus stop at 6 to catch a bus that then stopped a bunch of other places and then got me to school.
Did you sleep on the bus, on the 2 hours that you're on the bus?
I wasn't on the bus for 2 hours.
Okay.
Closer to 45 minutes to an hour, but, you know, based on all kinds of weird things, bus dropped us off way early for school.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there were times, yeah, it was dark at 6 o'clock in the morning in Alabama.
Well, my mother had to get to work sometimes as early as 6 a.m. and would therefore drop me off at my grandmother's house to pick up the bus.
Yeah.
From there, she tried getting me up, but I just couldn't, you know, if you people
right.
have young, if you have children, you know, it's hard to get them up because they
right.
just need the sleep.
The thing I just wanted to say real quick about this daylight saving time thing is that I don't know what the guy in the article was saying because I haven't heard the article, so I cannot say whether I'm for it or not. But I'm in Florida right now, and I live down here at the bottom in the Florida, Miami, Florida area. And I can only say that this daylight saving time thing, it's not only a scam, but it's not good. Here, it's like unless you live on the eastern part of the county, where downtown Miami, Miami Beach, those places, there are businesses that are still open, like on the 7 o'clock in the afternoon and 7 at night, 8 at night. But here, it's like whenever we have daylight saving time, it'll be like 6 in the afternoon. And most areas in the western part, the businesses are already out of business. I mean, they're closed.
Closed.
When
it's daylight out still.
Yeah. And then it'll be like 7 o'clock at night, right? At night. And same thing. And if you're not careful, you can end up missing your favorite TV show. And all I can say is I hate this daylight saving thing. I wish it would just go away. But now we have to deal with this Republican guy in the state that wants to make it like the law or whatever, and I'm really hoping that this guy doesn't do it. I hope that somehow he gets shut down, you know what I mean?
Well, it's the at this point it's the U.S. Congress.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.